We're ready to resume.
Are you ready, Carla?
Close.
Yes.
Okay. Council will please come back to order. Call the roll, please.
Novick?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Hales?
Here. Okay, we're going to return to our morning calendar and finish up those items that we have not yet addressed from this morning's calendar. And I think they start
10:31 through 10:34, but 10:34 is being referred back.
Right, but then 10:35 as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do 10:31, please.
Okay, they wanted 10:31 through 10:33 all read together.
Okay.
I don't. 10:31. Establish annual cap on estimated foregone revenue for multiple unit limited tax exemption program. 10:32. Approve application under the multi-unit limited tax exemption program for Block 67, located at East Burnside Street and Northeast Coot Street between Northeast 2nd Avenue and 3rd Avenue. 10:33, approve application under the multi-unit limited tax exemption program for Block 8L located at Northwest Natal Parkway and 1st Avenue between Northwest Coot Street and Davis Street.
Okay.
And 10:34, should I read the title? Approve application under the multi-unit limited tax exemption program for Riverscape Lot 1, located at Northwest Front Avenue and Northwest 15th Avenue.
Okay.
This is what we call an entrance.
There we go. And I understand we're going to return 10:34 back to Commissioner Saltzman's office, but we're going to hear the other three items. And, of course, he is not here this afternoon, so you are queued up for a presentation.
Good afternoon. I'm Andrea Mathiason with the Portland Housing Bureau.
And I am Dori Van Bockel, also with the Housing Bureau.
Okay.
And so one of the items before you this afternoon is the resolution that establishes the annual foregone revenue cap for the multi-program. And so just beginning with that item, wanting to note that that is an administrative requirement for the program that's required by state statute. And so that cap has been is being proposed for $1.25 million for the 2014 calendar year. That cap was established in conjunction with support from Multnomah County, particularly in response to the three applications that PHB received under the multi-program for 2014. Three applications were received. They were supported by the county. They were scored by the Housing Bureau. And at this point, I believe that I saw all three of those application ordinances before you this afternoon, but one of those was intended to have been withdrawn. I'm not sure if that actually
It's being referred back, I think, the Riverscape project. Back
correct.
Back to Commissioner Saltzman's office.
Ah, yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, the other two, Block 8L and Block 67, are both still here before us.
Okay. And so those two applications would not actually meet the $1.25 million proposed cap on foregone revenue for 2014. The Riverscape project did decide to proceed as a market rate project. They elected not to use the property tax exemption and to provide affordable housing under the multi-program. And so what you have before you is then the two ordinances for the specific projects. We can answer questions that you might have on those, and then also the resolution to establish the annual cap on foregone revenue for the multi-program.
Let me, if I could, colleagues, just provide just one piece of context since Commissioner Saltzman could not join us. A few years ago, it's probably longer, the city and the county undertook what was called a big look of our multifamily tax exemption program. And it was the elected officials at the table included Chair Kogan, Commissioner Kafori, Commissioner Fritz, and me. And it lasted a couple years, and it was extremely complicated. And one of the outcomes of that process, in addition to aligning our policies better with the tax abatement programs, was the county's desire to have a cap on foregone revenue. That was not an issue that the city advanced as a primary concern. It was a question the county really advocated for. And if you'll recall, without the county's blessing on these programs, and most, I should say even more importantly, without the county assessor's blessing, they have no effect because the county assessor ultimately has to agree to take the property off the tax rolls. So the genesis for a $1 million cap was that two-year-long discussion, and that was primarily a county concern. When Commissioner Saltzman had this conversation with the county chair about raising the cap in order to be able to fund some additional programs, we could not be at this place if it was not we did not have the concurrence of the county chair. So this comes to us as something that the city and the county have jointly agreed to, but historically it's been a greater concern to the county, this idea of the foregone revenue, and they were the ones who really advocated for the cap. And that is separate and apart from the competitive process to see how it's applied. That's what we have before us on the programs, the projects which have been selected through a competitive process. And raising the cap a fairly modest amount can only happen with the blessing of the county chair.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that context.
Just one point of clarification. Well, originally we were going to have a $1.2 million cap, assuming there was going to be three applications. Does this mean that the money will be distributed among the remaining two, or just that others will have an opportunity to apply for the rest of the money?
So we've had conversations at this point with the county about the outcome of the Riverscape application, and they are in support of the city seeking a third or more other applications to consume the balance, the remaining unallocated cap. They would like an opportunity to review that specific project. Their support for the increased cap was predicated on the city taking these three specific project applications to the county and reviewing the benefits and merits of those specific projects with the county. And they'd like that opportunity for any other projects that would come forward for 2014.
And Commissioner Novick, in the absence of any statutory authority to have a inclusionary zoning or some of the other tools that we're barred from using, one of the reasons the county continues to have interest in this program is it does at least get us the 20% mm-hmm. of affordable units in choice neighborhoods. So we're getting the affordable units in neighborhoods that are experiencing a significant increase in property values.
Yeah, I just wanted to make it clear for the record that this is not about, you know, the two applicants get a windfall because the third dropped out. It's about trying to find somebody else to step up. That's my understanding.
Okay. Other questions for the team? Anything else that you need to include in this package?
So I have a concern about 1032, which is the block 67, which I think I expressed at the last hearing, and that was staff to staff, which is about the public benefit. And that was one of the things in the Big Look process that Commissioner Fish and I grappled with, that it was blending a lot of other programs, and included in one of those other programs was this concept of there being some kind of additional public benefit in addition to affordable housing. So the two other projects that you put forward allowed access to the gathering spaces by the community, not just by the residents, and I don't see anything in this application that is a community benefit rather than a benefit to those who will live in the apartments.
This project also does have space for gathering open to the public, and they were making some additional improvements to the project, including taking on some maintenance agreements that were part of what was codified in that portion of the additional public benefits.
Can you direct me to where in this packet it changed from the previous discussion to now?
I don't believe that we've discussed this particular project, but as far as and the code has not changed or the guidelines as to what's accepted in the access to amenities, but we have in gathering spaces, but we have clarified that only gathering spaces that do have public access will receive any scoring. So yes, that is clarified in in this. So in this particular project, in the gathering space section, starting at the bottom of page 3, there's a 9,000-plus square foot eco-roof that will be available to the public as gathering space that will have entertainment features as far as for people to hold gatherings there. And they are also presenting some other things that are part of the project site. But primarily, again, there's the maintenance agreement and some additional infrastructure connecting it to the skate park adjacent to the site as well.
That looks good. How will the public know that they're invited to use the eco roof?
That's not a discussion we've had with them at this point. They have certainly said that it's generally it's available by reservation. We haven't required to now any marketing of such amenities per se, but they are definitely in the proposal of their project looking for many ways to connect with the community, including passerbys. It's a very bicycle-centric project, and they're inviting bicyclers and other commuters to sort of be part of the project. It's a mixed-use project where there'll be commercial on the ground floor, and then connecting to the adjacent sites and the other development that's occurring simultaneously at the bridgehead area. So there is that intent to certainly be part of the community in that way, and I would hope that that would also then invite that part of their project to be used publicly.
Right, and so maybe in each of these projects, when they do their grand openings, they could be sure to invite the neighborhood association and make that clear, and it would then get passed along.
That's a good idea.
Thank you very much.
Why was it this project earned 0 points on accessibility and special needs populations?
They did chose to not add any additional features above the minimum ADA requirements, so it's not a public benefit they're specifically seeking as far as to adding any additional accessibility features to the project. There very well could be some. It's a very highly designed architecturally project, so there's very possibly some amenities that would be positive for the accessible community, but it wasn't outlined specifically in the application.
So if you meet ADA, which you have to do, you get 0 points because that's mandatory. You have to go above and beyond in each of these cases in order to earn any points.
Correct.
Okay.
Which is an improvement over when you were serving on the council and I was on the Planning Commission, where you got points just for complying with the law, which was irritating to us at the time.
Yes.
So it's good to know that it's been changed.
But this idea of how do we create stronger incentives for people to build fully accessible units with the growing of the population.
Right.
I think we'd all like to see, you know, more units universally accessible. And how do you bake that into the code without displacing some other value along the way?
Well, we could also increase the potential number of points they could earn for the threshold. Doing better than the minimum.
Mm-hmm. For the baseline.
Right. Because they can earn up to 10 in the case of special needs populations and 20 in the case of accessibility. But those numbers are set by the city, not by ADA. So we could change that.
Well, and I know Commissioner Saltzman has has been musing on whether in certain targeted areas we could do that, like South Waterfront. You know, if we want to create an environment where there's developers are building more units accessible for older adults, could you change the points there in a particular geography so you get that outcome?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Other comments, questions, concerns to raise with the team here? Has anyone signed up to speak on this item, Carla?
No one signed up.
These items, I should say. Okay. Great. Anything else you need to add before we act on these? Thanks very much. Okay, then we have the resolution, which is 1031, and that's ready for our vote.
Novick?
Thanks for the explanation. Aye.
Fritz?
Yeah, thank you for your extra work on this and always having good responses. The Housing Bureau is doing very good work on this. Aye.
Thank you.
Fish?
This is a program that for the last 5 years, the Housing Bureau has administered at an extremely high level, and these are two of the reasons why. Thank you for your good work. Aye.
Hales.
Yeah, it's good staff work, I think. Appreciate that. And it's good for the council to be keeping an eye on these. I'm fully supportive of this program, but it is a tax expenditure. We're spending money just like we do when we budget cash dollars. So it's a reasonable level of oversight, and this kind of rigor that we apply to the application process, I think, is about right. We might want to change the point total, as we talked about in the future, but fine for now. Thank you. Aye. Okay.